The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I know people will comment that we need an expanded college football playoff. Yeah, when you're looking at the rankings that the committee put out yesterday, and again, it's still incomplete because we got championship games on Saturday, and you know that there is a Georgia team that's very good, an Oklahoma team that's very good, an Ohio State team that's very good, and two of those teams is more than likely going to get left out of this thing, as it looks like Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame are all locks. Notre Dame definitely is. Alabama definitely is. I think you can make the case for Clemson even if they lose to Pitt this weekend. But looking at Oklahoma at 11-1, their only loss this season, a walk-off kick by Texas in a rivalry game at the Cotton Bowl. Ohio State, yes, that's a bad, bad road loss to Purdue, but don't forget they throttled a team that the College Football Playoff Committee said had the best defense. They put up 63 on a team like Michigan. Oklahoma, Ohio State, Georgia is good. Only blemish there is a road loss to LSU. Two of those teams is going to be missing. I guarantee you this. If this goes Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, just for hypothetical, that you're going to hear more and more people go, this is unfair. We've got to change it. They were belly aching about this thing back when TCU and Baylor got thrown out of this thing for Ohio State. They've been talking about this playoff committee for, because we're never, ever satisfied. We want more. We want to expand, especially when you're talking about something that is college football, where it is very subjective to the people and their opinions. That's not the case in other sports, right? You win a certain amount of games. There is a process to get to the postseason. And that process is you've got to fit into this criteria. You've got to be one of the top eight teams in the NBA, in the Eastern or Western Conference. You've got to be a division winner in the NFL or one of two wild cards. Here's the criteria. If you don't fill it, no one to blame but yourself. Baseball, the same thing. Here's the criteria. No one to blame but yourself. But in college football, it's even in the NCAA tournament, where it's 64, and I've always made the case, if you don't make that, I don't want to hear you crying, because it's easy enough to make. In college football, because we're taking the top four and quality teams are going to get left out of this thing, really, really good teams are going to get left out of this thing, the belly aching is just going to go on and on and on. I don't think expansion is coming tomorrow or in the near future, but I guess they say part of the charm is all the debate, I guess, but that's what you're going to get because it's not going to be easy.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, I want to get to the Reuben Foster situation and a topic we go around this every single time, and I keep bringing it up because I think it's important to bring up. But before I do, Ron, thank you very much on Twitter. ESPN posted a Rocky IV tweet about on this date in 1985, Rocky Balboa knocked out Ivan Drago. I really did thought they were talking about the movie. I didn't think they were talking about the release date.
No, be honest, I had to look it up. Because when I saw that, I was like, yeah, it was Christmas Day. Because
it was made
the
a big
thing.
Deal it was Christmas Day, right? Because the godless Christmas Soviets. Day. Remember that? They were like, what is this? On Christmas. Remember that? They made it a big deal because remember the Soviets didn't believe in religion? How dare they? They would, of course, they would schedule a fight on Christmas. They don't believe in Jesus, right? Maybe they made a big deal about that. So that's what I remembered. Yeah, I know. Right now I see it's obvious it was the release date, but don't do that. Like, live in the movie world. Yes.
Who posted it?
ESPN.
They're wrong.
The way it's worded is not right. It says on this date in 1985, Rocky Balboa knocked out Ivan Drago in the 15th round of Rocky IV.
Yeah.
No, that was Christmas
gone the
Day.
Other way. Yeah. On this date, 1995. 85. No, Rocky IV didn't come out in 85.
Yes, it did.
Oh,
yes,
man.
It did.
Okay, in 1995, you could say, hey, this is the day Apollo Creed died.
That's right. Yes, right?
He died on November 27, 1985.
Throw the towel!
It was all going so well too. James Brown did his little dance beforehand.
Yeah, did his dance, right?
Living in the USA.
Remember Adrian? You can't win. He flies out to Russia to like chop wood and do laundry and stuff like that to train for the fight. And Adrian comes
rocks.
Out there. Lift rocks.
People in wheelbarrows.
And remember the KGB was out. He'd run and the KGB would chase him by car and then he would take off into the woods.
He outran them and climbed a mountain.
Yeah, climbed a mountain.
Because the mountain is there.
Meanwhile, Ivan Drago is getting pumped up with steroids and working with computers and doing all sorts of punching drills that showed the pressure. Remember that?
Nope.
He punches, he destroys. By the way, I didn't know that... Dolph Lundgren was like a chemical engineer. Did you know that?
In real life?
In real life, he's like a brilliant man. If you look it up,
I believe you.
He's like a chemical engineer. He's got like a PhD or something like that.
Are you excited for the new one, Creed 2?
You know, I never saw Creed 1, and I feel bad because people have told me it's great. They say, watch it. It's great. And I have it on Amazon Prime, and I just haven't watched it yet.
I'm with you. I haven't watched it. We should have a viewing party.
I know we should.
Watch it, and then we got to see Creed 2 because I'm curious, to see Drago again.
Yes,
much older Drago. Can those guys just get into the ring and fight?
I know.
Forget the new generation. I want to see the old guys go at it.
Remember, the Soviets were cheering for Rocky. Remember at the end of the movie? Remember they changed their mind.
He turned them. And
you
then that one
change,
guy.
We'll change. Love Rocky.
It's off, easy off.
Yeah. It's great. What a great series. I love it.
He's not a machine. He's a man.
Yeah, that's right.
God. Rocky's the only one still alive. I mean, I know Talia Shire still is, but,
but
everyone is. Carl Weathers is still alive, but you can't bring him back.
Well, can they bring, I know this is going to sound weird. Can they do a Creed with Clubber Lang, Mr. T? Can they bring back Mr. T?
Maybe that'll be the third one, because that makes more sense for it to be the third one, because Rocky 3.
How'd you like to be with a real man? Remember that what he told Adrian at the ceremony in Philadelphia? I bet you dream of every night being with a real man. And Rocky goes, yeah! Rocky 3. And Mick died.
It's just always like the grunting.
Great. Good old. I'll see Creed. I'll watch Creed and I'll go see Creed 2, because I do... people have been saying are great. So, all right, I want to get to this Reuben Foster thing because it dives into a larger issue that Ron and I have explored many, many times. And it, in all seriousness, folks, I know there are some of you, and I've said this over and over again. This is a broken record, but I just think it bears repeating. I know there are some of you out there that never want to see Colin Kaepernick play in this NFL again, ever. But let's be honest here. Something's not right here. Something's wrong in terms of this collusion. Reuben Foster got picked up minutes after he was released by the 49ers. I mean, the Redskins went right to try to file papers to get him. Doing all the right things, right? If he's, they're going to investigate, but, if he's cleared to play, he's going to play for us, right? And we're watching a league where They are begging quarterbacks to come back and play. They are begging quarterbacks to find a spot on a roster. And Colin Kaepernick cannot get a phone call. Now, you may agree with that completely. And listen, I'm not here to change your mind. I know that the anthem and the kneeling of the anthem is a big deal to you. And I am not trying to change your mind on that. I'm not trying to diminish that emotion. But do not come back at me and tell me there's no collusion. Do not come back at me and tell me that he's not getting a job because he can't play in this league. Come on. We have to have an honest conversation about this as NFL fans. You don't want him to play because he kneels? Fine. You want to have, if the NFL's collusion, great. File the lawsuit, settle the lawsuit, whatever. But stop with this nonsense that he can't play. This league is bringing out everybody that's ever thrown a pass in the NFL in its history to try out for teams that are desperate for quarterbacks. And you're telling me that he can't get a look. And Reuben Foster can get picked up after a domestic violence allegation. And an error with that should kill you for a while. He gets picked up minutes later after he gets released. Is insane to me. I'm sorry. It's insane to me. We can have another debate about the anthem. But don't tell me Colin Kaepernick can't play in the league because he doesn't have the ability or talent to do so. This is baloney.
I mean, the Redskins were the latest team to try out a bunch of quarterbacks.
Right.
Because Alex Smith went out with a season-ending injury. All you have is Colt McCoy. You need to bring in a backup. So that, you know, they ended up going with Mark Sanchez, who, I mean, he's decent.
Yeah, he's fine.
But, I mean, this list of people who they... They rumored to have brought in E.J. Manuel, T.J. Yates, Kellen Clemens, Josh Johnson. You mean to tell me that all four of those guys are better?
Yeah, completely.
Or, you know, you can make an argument like, oh, yeah. No, we need those guys, not Colin.
Yeah, and again, I know this is a sensitive issue, but this is, there's just, it doesn't feel right.
No,
here.
This has,
like, it just doesn't feel right.
At this point, it has nothing to do with kneeling. It has nothing to do with national anthem. The national anthem, we thought it was, I thought it was going to be a much bigger storyline this season than it was when the NFL came out and said, you know, listen, you have to stand. If not, you're going to get fined. And for the first week, maybe the second week, there was talks of it. Now, I'm not hearing a thing.
And what does this say? What does this say about a league that is willing to say, oh, you know what? We'll take a chance on Reuben Foster because even, you know, if he can help us win.
Especially
even,
with right? what's gone on the last 2 years.
Exactly.
With hashtag Look, Me Too, hashtag.
All of that.
You know,
all of that.
Don't forget or you know, what, all of the different ones that are out there.
And now you're telling me that there's not a team out there that's like, you know what? We think this guy can help us win at the quarterback position. I know he's controversial, but you know what? We wouldn't listen to our fan base if Colin Kaepernick beat up his girlfriend, but we would listen to our fan base because he kneels in front of the anthem? Like, what a weird league this is. What a weird set of morality this is. Like, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, it's laughable.
Again, it's absolutely laughable. Again, I get it. I get people's emotion tied to the patriotism of the country. I'm not trying to diminish that. But please explain to me how it's either okay or not, how this league will continue to bring in guys who run afoul of the law, and then try on the same breath telling us that we just don't think Kaepernick is football ready to play. It's not the anthem. No, he just doesn't, learning an offense is hard and it's too late and, stop. These excuses from this league are nauseating. It's nauseating. When you are calling E.J. Manuel to come in and work out, that's insane to me that you wouldn't pick up the phone and call Kaepernick. That's crazy to me. That is nuts. And again, it goes back. If the league wants to stand on a pedestal and go, you know what? It is collusion and we'll settle this out of court. Then settle it out of court with him. But don't tell me it's not collusion when you're signing Reuben Foster the second he gets released for a domestic violence allegation, and you're calling up T.J. Yates to see if he can still throw a football. Hey, how's that old arm working, T.J.? Yeah, come on, stop with this. Nathan Peterman tried out for the Lions for crying out loud. I thought we all agreed he couldn't play anymore. I thought we were all in unison. Every one of us across this country were in unison that he couldn't play in this league. He tried out for the Lions. And Kaepernick can't get a phone call? This is insane. I'm sorry, this is insane.
Well, the writing's on the wall. Kaepernick just needs to go beat someone up.
Apparently so.
I mean, then you'll get the look at.
Right?
Then the intensity is there. The fire is there.
I mean, again, I just... Stop insulting our intelligence. It's so dumb. Oh, you know, it's just so hard to learn an offense in a 4-week period of time. Stop. This is silly. This is so silly. And again, but this is what this league has always done. Again, it goes back to the original conversation we had. Never forget this league. When this league tells you, we will not stand for anybody that remember, this is a league that suspended Ray Rice for 2 weeks until you screamed about it and I screamed about it and we all screamed about it and then went, I'm sorry, forever. Oh, I'm sorry. Whoops. Our bad. We didn't realize. Whoops. Don't let them lecture you on morality. All right? Stop. It's absolutely insane. And now they're trying to convince a lot of you that the angle on Kaepernick isn't that he's controversial. The angle on Kaepernick is that he's not talented enough to play in this league. Meanwhile, again, untalented players keep getting chance after chance after chance to become backups or just fill a roster spot at the position. I'm not asking people to start Kaepernick. I'm not even asking people to sign Kaepernick. He's not even getting a look.
No,
they're not even asking him to show up to try out.
You're not saying, hey, you need to find him a spot on the roster.
No, not at all.
You're not even doing that. Just invite him.
Just invite him to show up to
see what he can do. Watch him throw a ball. Watch him run around in the pocket. Just see what he can do. That's all it is.
Because I will tell you one thing. If this league is so adamant that Colin Kaepernick can't play in this league, if they are so convinced that he can't do anything productive for anybody, the best way to do it is bring him in for a quick tryout and then tell the world it didn't work out. But they won't even do that. They won't even do that because they know the real reason. They know the real reason, but can't admit it because they know if they admit it, then you know, he wins the big lawsuit. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number. You can call me nuts and you can say whatever you want, but I just still don't get this league sometimes, and I completely, completely hate being railroaded with the truth. 800-777-2907. It's SB Nation Radio.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Does Australia have a slogan like we do it big in Australia or something like that? Do they have any kind of...
Kind of similar to everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah, do they have like in Australia? Everything is so big in Australia.
Do they do anything like that? It might just be like anything could kill you.
Yeah, right. Anything could kill you. I got a really interesting story out of Australia, but before we do that, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so I saw this picture of this gigantic 6'4" cow on the interweb.
And you immediately thought, Photoshop.
Photoshop. No way this is true. Because it shows the cow, big, huge, like Chick-fil-A cow, you know, the one they use in the advertising, with the red, the white and black cow. He's towering over other cows. Like Yao Ming would tower over me, right? Like just huge cow. And then these cows are looking up at him and he's looking down at the cows. And I thought, this is Photoshop. There's no way this is real. Well, this is real. This is real. Unless this is a global viral prank, because there's a lot of stories on Knickers the steer.
Knickers.
Down in Australia.
Which is the most perfect name for this cow.
Yes.
Like, you could not think of a better name than Knickers.
He is 6'4".
Break it down. What's his draft status, Tony?
Yeah, 6'4" with a 7-foot wingspan and can leap like a gazelle. Knickers is gigantic, but here's the sad part for all of us who love a good juicy burger. Knickers is too heavy to go to the slaughterhouse.
Well, of course he is. I mean, you'd have to bring in one of those gigantic dump trucks.
Yeah,
and load them in the back of that.
God. So instead of becoming steaks and burgers, this article says, 7-year-old Nickers will get to live out his life in Pearson's Fields in Lake Preston, southwest of Perth. He is now becoming a tourist attraction as people will flock to that area to take a picture with the giant cow.
You know, if I was hanging out in Perth, I'd make the drive.
I would too. I would if I was down in Australia, I would love to see this cow.
Yeah, I mean, if I was in Sydney, nah, I'm good.
Nah,
because on the wrong side of the coast.
Yeah, we act like Australia is like Rhode Island. Like we could just drive over to
just
Perth
walk
and just be like, oh no, it's a day. Yeah, you know, that's like a. Set probably a 17-hour drive.
Oh, more than that.
Maybe that. It's
isn't
a big, Australia, huge continent.
Isn't it the size of the U.S.?
I think it might be.
It'd be like, you know, going from New York to L.A.
Yeah, that would be saying, like, while I'm in the nation's capital, I'll go see Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, why not?
Like, wait a minute. I can't go do that.
It's a short little drive.
Anyway, I'd drive to Perth to see the gigantic cow. That's crazy.
Yeah, if you were hanging out in Perth, I'd make that drive.
Man.
And you know what? No, you're going to make that into beef.
You got to make that into beef.
At some point.
If he dies naturally, can you still get the meat or is that
bad? Yes.
Yeah, right?
Carve him up.
If you wake up one day and you're like, ah, Nickers is gone. Wow, he fell asleep and died. Unfortunately. Don't let that carcass go to the wolves.
No, I mean, at first, breed.
Exactly. Whatever. Oh, you want an army of this stuff, right?
Whatever he is made of, you need more of it. Because
this is like Secretariat. You just have him out to pasture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that one cow could probably feed a small, tiny nation.
Oh, no kidding.
He
could
end world hunger.
And you
that's how large he is.
So if you get some big, gigantic, like ribeyes out of this deal or T-bone steaks and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, you could feed an army with this. Fantastic.
Paired up with some mashed potatoes.
Oh, speaking of mashed potatoes, you know what I had the other day, which I'm a huge mashed potato fan, but I'm terrible at, I don't have the patience to like boil mashed potatoes or make it myself. My mother used to just peel the potatoes, throw them in a pot, boil them. But I don't have any time for this. So I went and I got some Bob Evans mashed potatoes out of the grocery. These are unreal. Unbelievable. They're the best microwave mashed potatoes I've ever had. I swear. They're amazing. Absolutely amazing. And what's great was it was addicting. Like we had them out for the kids and we got the plates out and I went to taste it. You know, you just kind of throw a little spoon in there to make sure it's hot.
Well, you
stir it up a little
bit. That's the role of dad.
Right.
That, you know, our role is to go through the kitchen and just kind of taste test everything.
Exactly. So I put it in the microwave, I heated it up and then I took it out and make sure it's hot, stir it up a little bit. And I did a taste and I started eating it out of the container. My wife goes, stop that. And I go, yeah, well, get another one. This was really good. And then we did they have mac and cheese too, which is fantastic.
Creamy.
Absolutely fantastic. Really
See,
creamy.
That's the thing.
Really creamy.
I've gone down the road too many times with other types of, you know, mac and cheese that just,
right.
you know, it looks great on the box. And you're like, oh, that's exactly what I want. You cook it, you're like, oh, man, this is, I could get this at a school cafeteria. That's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, no, this was great. It's so convenient. What I liked about them is I'm just, you know, because I'm lazy. I don't have time. I don't have time to boil macaroni and melt cheese and add milk and powder and all that.
No,
I don't have time for that nonsense.
It gets confusing. Like,
yes.
I can't do it. I have to sit there. I feel like I become a chemist when I'm reading the box.
Yeah. One time I made mac and cheese and I made it runny with the milk.
Yep.
And my wife goes, congratulations on ruining dinner. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. What do I do if I put too much milk in it?
Well, then you just got to turn in your man card because you're like, I just ruined mac and cheese.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, next thing you know, I'm going to mess up cereal.
Yeah, I can't do it. It's crazy.
No, but the great thing about I'm on the Bob Evans website right now.
Oh, yeah, good stuff, man.
Dude, I mean, look at the flavors.
Oh, they have all sorts of different ones.
It's just ridiculous.
It's great. They're really great. So God bless you, Bob Evans, because you saved my my dinner.
I think, man, the hardest choice you're going to be is just standing there staring.
I know, right?
What do I feel like today? Do I feel like roasted garlic? Nah, I feel like loaded.
Yeah, no. It's even the regular. We just got the regular one. It was delicious.
I know that. So. I mean, but that's the thing.
Yeah, it's too much.
Too many choices. That's the great thing about it.
Yeah, great stuff. So thank you, Bob Evans, because, again, dinner is a lot better.
And it would pair great with Nickers.
And it would pair great with Nickers, the big cow from Australia.
God.
All right. Can I make you a morbid thought here about Nickers? Can
of
you
course.
Sell?
Okay. We've already chopped them up and served them.
But do you think that the owner of Knickers could make a little money by selling pieces of the cow once he does, like, buy your share of Knickers today? When he passes,
you'll get now.
Like, yeah, just like put down a deposit, and when Knickers finally passes, you will get an eighth of him or whatever it is of the meat that comes from, and you could say this is Knickers.
If he's hard up on times, yeah, because then I'll be down, because I know that
auction off shares of Knickers.
I know for a fact that one of those beef ribs would be the size of the Flintstone beef rib.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Come to the car and it'll fall apart. Yep. I'll fall down.
Just knock my car over, and I'm fine.
My wife and I won a quarter of a cow once in a home convention drawing. We won a quarter. We got a call and said, your name was drawn for a quarter of a cow, so come and pick up the meat. It was boxes and boxes and boxes of steaks and burgers. It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
and I
thought,
what's
fridge?
A full cow? I was like, what's a full cow? Yes, but the problem is I couldn't keep it in my freezer because I had about 17 ice cube containers in there trying to get ice. So that was the dilemma that I had. All right, coming up, we'll talk bull riding because, man, that sport is fantastic. It's coming up on SB Nation Radio.
Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. To SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yeah, sometimes we like to give you a little taste of some of the other sporting things that go on in this country. The PBR, Professional Rodeo, a Bull Riders Association, is having an event at Madison Square Garden in January, a three-day event. Sean Willingham is going to join us. He is a 11-time World Finals qualify rider. He's from Somerville, Georgia. He made $1.3 million riding bulls, and he's got a really interesting background. Sean Willingham joining us on SB Nation Radio. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you today?
Good. All right. So I got to ask you this question. In terms of bull, like when you grew up and I'm assuming you wanted to get into rodeo, there's a lot of different rodeo events. What made you lean towards the bull riding aspect of it?
The bull riding was the most entertaining part of the rodeo world. At one point when I first started, it was just all the rodeo, and then the bull riding was last, and so they made a big deal about it when the bull riding started, kind of got the crowd entertained a little more, and everybody was on their feet, and that's what entertained me more than any other sport that was there, was because they made a big deal out of it, and it was the most dangerous sport, the most dangerous part of the whole rodeo.
Yeah, it, unlike other sports where there is you kind of do your thing, like in football, and then you have people say, we would like to bring you on our team, so you need an outside agent that comes in and says, we'd like to hire you to do this. How does it work for a young bull rider? How do you get to be a pro? Does somebody have to sign you up, or do you just do it and keep competing until you are successful at it?
Yeah, it's just, we do it individual. We're individual contracts. Some of the guys have agents for sponsorship-wise opportunities. Mm-hmm. But to qualify, to get to the top, you have to work your way through the minor league ranks. Everybody has to buy their card, so you pay your dues every year. And then you just enter these bull ridings, and you go up and down the road to these bull ridings trying to accumulate enough points to get in the top 35 in the world. And that's what we showcase every weekend on national television and get to go to our big events, the PBR Unleash the Beast Tour.
I've been to a number of PBR events. I used to live in Vegas, so I used to go whenever you guys would come to town there. I got to tell you, this thing, every time I go, I was amazed how popular it is and how packed the Thomas. I've been to the Thomas and Mack Center, for example, for a number of events that didn't fill up. The bull riding was not one of them. It packed that place. Have you seen this grow? Has it always been like that throughout your career?
Well, it's definitely grown throughout my career. I've been around, you know, the PBR for 19 years, going on 20 now. And so it's definitely changed. The crowds are bigger and better. People are more aware of our sport and realize, you know, this is a very interesting sport, and everybody loves watching bull riding. I mean, who don't like watching a 150-pound man take on a 2,000-pound beast, you know, for 8 seconds? So it's definitely, I saw this sport grow tremendous, you know, in my career, and it just keeps bigger, getting bigger and better. And, you know, now we ride at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas for our World Finals, and, you know, we're here in New York at the Madison Square Garden, you know, one of the most historic building venues that there is in the whole United States.
Sean Willingham joining us. He is a professional bull rider. And again, they have an event coming up in January at Madison Square Garden in New York City. All right, Sean, one of the things I was talking about earlier is having been in radio my whole life, I have gotten to know timing, right? So I know how long 30 seconds is. If I get told I got 15 seconds, I know what I can do in those 15 seconds. Do you know how long 8 seconds is? In your brain, do you know how long 8 seconds is without timing it out?
I know exactly how long 8 seconds is in my brain. Sometimes we get our internal clocks is what we like to call it. Sometimes they get mixed up, and we work on a 6 or 7 second program, and they just don't cut it in the bull riding world. It has to be 8. So I try to train my brain to a 10 second clock. That way, I know for sure. You know, if I think, you know, 10 seconds, I for sure have been on there for 8.
Have you ever been on a bull where you were like, blow the whistle, blow? I know it's. I've been on here longer than 8 seconds.
Hey, that's every time I get on the back of one. I'm like, man, where's that whistle? When's it going to blow?
Can I ask a question about the bulls? Because, you know, you go to these events and the bulls have names. And so I'm assuming they have reputations, right? How do you know what – do you scout the bulls like you would scout like players scout opponents?
Yeah, we do. The bulls are definitely a region. We see a lot of the bulls throughout the year. Some of the same bulls, but they're always bringing new bulls in and out. To try to throw us off guard. And, you know, it never fails. If you see a bull, you've saw him 4 or 5 times throughout the year, he's done, you know, you're going to try to figure out what his pattern is going to be. And then so I try to set my mind to what he's going to do. The bull will go out there and do something totally different the next time. You can study them, but they'll change their mind up every second as well, because they go off of a feel. So if I'm trying to set a trap for one, I'm leaning more to the left because I think he's going left. He'll feel my weight to the left, and he'll jump out there and go right.
So there is a strategy here. I don't think a lot of people know. Some people just think you get on these bulls and you just hope for the best. But you are strategically placing weight throughout the ride to maximize the 8 seconds, right?
Yes, I'm constantly, you know, in that 8 second ride, there's so many different moves and counter moves that go through our brains to actually conquer the bull for 8 seconds, because they're changing it up every jump as well, you know, trying to get me off his back. So I have to change it up, you know, on my part to stay on his back throughout the 8 seconds, and constantly switching weight, you know, from left leg to right leg, sometimes down both legs. And then other than that, it's just, you know, try to hold on throughout all of it.
In your now 20-year career riding bulls, I mean, the list of injuries that you've had that they gave to us, broken neck, dislocated hip, torn groin, I mean, the list is are you like a race car driver that you just keep going back, and that the best way to overcome those is just to get right back on the bull?
That is exactly right. You know, that's the way I was raised. I mean, you know, you battle through. I was aware of the injuries of the sport when I first started. So, you know, every bull rider that you see, we're all aware of the injuries, how bad they can be. And so we just fight through it and bounce back, you know, as quick and safely as possible when the doctors will let us. Some of the injuries I've had took me a little longer than others. You know, broken neck, I was only out 4 months with my pulled growing muscle surgery. With that, I was out a whole year. So it just varies on what you've injured, on how long you're going to be out. They say it's not if you get hurt, it's just when and how bad.
I do have to ask you, have you heard the story of Nickers, the 6'4" cow in Australia?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, you need to look that up, because as a bull rider, you would probably appreciate large steer animals. So I just wanted to give you make you aware there's a 6'4" cow that is roaming the plains in Australia that's apparently alive. So
6'4".
Yes, yeah, 6'4", towering over the rest of the herd in Australia.
Yeah,
so
impressive.
So what do you
put 6'4" cow in Australia?
6 foot 4 cow in Australia. Yeah, exactly. Oh, what's going on in Madison Square Garden in January? What are you guys doing out in New York?
The PBR, the Unleash the Beast Tour, our first stop of the 2019 season, will be here at Madison Square Garden January 4th, 5th, and 6th. We showcase the top 35 bull riders in the world. We have guys from Brazil, Australia, Canada, Mexico, and, of course, the United States. We all have the best guys in the whole world. We'll be competing for a championship here at the Madison Square Garden.
Sean, I really appreciate your time. Fascinating career and like a fascinating sport. I've loved every time I've gone. I've loved it. It's fantastic. I encourage people to go see it, especially if you're not familiar with it. I know you'll have a good time. Sean, great stuff. I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You got it. Sean Willingham, professional bull rider on the circuit in New York City at Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden's a cool place. It's pretty much had everything, including bull riding. Yeah, I went. I remember I hadn't gone. My wife was into it. She really loved it. And we were living out in Vegas, and a friend of ours gave us tickets. And, you know, at the time, I was like, I don't know if I want to go. I don't know anything about this. I don't know. And then we went, and we had a great time. I mean, it was National Finals Rodeo, so we got to see all the other events, the cattle roping and the barrel riding and all that other stuff. But clearly the main event was the bull riding. Clearly the main event was
It's insanity.
It's unreal. It is unreal. And you get caught up in it. I mean, it's like, if you haven't ever gone, I'm telling you, you get caught up in it. Like he said, he knows exactly how long 8 seconds is.
Of course he does.
I don't, right? Like, I don't. So I think any moment he's going to die, right? He's going to get thrown from the – like, it's just – it's amazing how crazy that is. It's just – it really is. Like, you're on that thing, and you're like, it's got to be 8 seconds, right? It's got to be 8 seconds. And they have a little timer, and you look up, it's like, oh, my God, it's only 6. And those next 2 seconds take forever. And then when they finally sound the horn that 8 seconds has gone off, it's not over. Like, the bull doesn't go, okay, man, you won. Sorry about that. All right, just get off my back now. I appreciate that.
Better luck next time.
Yeah, better luck next time. I'll get you next time, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good one. Yeah, you just take it easy getting off my – yeah, thanks, man. Watch my foot. Appreciate it. No, the bull still goes – he's still a lunatic. It's still – you got to get off of that thing while it's still doing its doing its job. It's like winning a race, okay? It would be like winning a car race and your brakes are out. The fun is still going on after you cross the finish line, right? Like, you still have to maneuver that car.
I think that to me is that usually ends up being more entertaining, because when he's riding the ball, I can't really see him shifting his weight, moving his body.
No, I can't do any of that.
Because
right.
All you're looking at is like, all you're thinking to your in your mind is like, this guy's going to fly pretty soon.
That's right.
But then it's the chaos afterwards that everyone's trying to gather the attention of the bull. They're just running around, and I'm like, you guys are suicidal.
Oh, he's suicidal. And man, like, I went to one where I swear the replay showed the bull landing on the guy's face, but it just missed. But the replay made it look like the bull had just landed, like, through his heel, through his foot, right on the guy's face. But then that wasn't the case, obviously, because he survived. He didn't die, but it came close. And then you start realizing that's too close for me. I wouldn't ever get back on one of those things if I realized that I was an inch or two away from having a 2-ton bull stomp its foot on my head.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder how many times their moms had to tweet out, yes, the blood flow is going
right?
To, you know, or just say, you know, not even a certain body part, like, the blood is flowing again.
Yes. Right. Oh my gosh. They're a different breed, man. Those guys are a different breed.
I wish I think I could do it, but, you know, like, when you brought up, you know, how do you start out, right? The first image I'm with in my mind, because, you know, we go to the Houston Rodeo here in Houston. They have mutton races.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They put these little kids on sheep. So I'm thinking, like, okay, these are future bull riders of America right here.
Yeah. I've never even been on a mechanical bull. Like, I've never even been on a mechanical bull that I've never
and
had.
And why
that.
Would you? Because there's usually some hot chick on top of it, and you're like, yeah, you're good.
No, yeah, I'm good. No, I'm not getting. Yeah,
you
exactly.
don't want to
I'm
put this up there when after
nope,
that. Come on.
Not at all. Not at all.
That'd be an embarrassment.
Thanks to Sean Willingham for giving us an insight into the crazy world of bull riding. 800-777-2907. It is Tony D and Ron Culver. It's SB Nation Radio.
You're
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Do you think bull riding is the most dangerous sport that we have in this country? Or is it, would you say race car driving? Or am I missing one that's not... Acapulco's cliff diving?
Well, that's just stupid.
I know. Remember that was on Wide World of Sports. About, ski jumping? No, right?
No.
Luge? No.
Well,
luge is crazy.
Two-man luge, that's a dangerous sport.
That's very dangerous.
Especially if you're the bottom.
race car driving's still got to be... it's made it a lot safer, but it's still...
But bull riding's got to be up there just because that... You have no idea what that animal's thinking.
You have no idea.
At least with a car, you're going up against other humans who don't want to die at that moment and are actively not trying to kill you.
I think there's an absolute with the bull. Like if the bull lands on top of you, you're done. But I've seen I saw Rusty Wallace on TV once years and years ago. His car was going down like Talladega, and it went up in the air like a plane, and it flew and then landed on and he was fine. Like, you see crashes where you're like, what was that? And then the guy walks away. Whereas the crash that killed Dale Earnhardt back in 2001 was like, boom.
Yeah. It was almost like it didn't happen.
Like it was like a standard. Oh, he just went up into the wall. Well, okay. And then he was dead. Right, because the harness broke, and it was just kind of a perfect angle to cause the kind of blunt force trauma. So I don't know. Like in racing, I've seen things that should kill drivers where drivers walked away, and I've seen drivers get killed in accidents that don't look like they should have killed a driver. But in bull riding, if you fall on the ground, the bull lands on top of you, you're probably going to be done.
And there's probably more instances where you feel like dying.
Right. Yeah, like, broken neck. Like he said, broken neck. Like it was like pulling a hamstring.
Yeah, he was only out for 4 months.
Right, he was only out for 4 months.
No big deal.
4 months.
Yeah, I'll break my neck.
I got to be honest with you. Breaking my neck, it probably doesn't hurt my ability to do radio, but you won't see me work again for like 5 years if I broke my neck.
You're working the system at that point.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, he's like, well, broke my neck 4 months. I was back. Nice. 4 months. What's it like to be a magical healer?
Who's just so nonchalant? That's what I loved about it. Yeah, broken neck. Whatever.
Not 4 months.
Torn groin. That requires surgery. That's out for a year.
Now's out for
Yeah, shut me down.
Got right back on those bulls. Good man. Those guys are awesome. SB Nation Radio.